Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 146. Hashem made it in our natures that we are relationship beings. We need to be with people. We need to have deep relationships with people in order to have a fulfilling life. The happiest people give focus and priority to their relationships. And as a result, is a richer experience of life and of relationships, which is a tremendous matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that Hashem made it, based on the Baal Shem Tov's words, that Ahavas Hashem, the love of Hashem, and Ahavas Atayra, the love of Atayra, and Ahavas Yisrael, the love of Klal Yisrael, is one. The Ahavas Yisrael having such a fundamental point of Yiddishkeit, Ad kadei kach, that, as we know, the ikar churban of how we're suffering and through the galus now is because of sinas chinam, which emphasizes how strong Hashem wants ahavas chinam to take place, how He wants relationships between Jews, between the Bnei Yisrael, one to the other, to be full of ahava and achva and love, even people we never met but are part of Klal Yisrael. Truth be told, Hashem wants shalom in the whole world. He wants humanity to be that way. He does not want war. He wants peace, and He wants when there's love and respect between human beings, certainly amongst Klal Yisrael. So this is something that's very important to know overall. And aside that, of course, there's also primary relationships where Hashem puts in a person's life to connect, whether it's a parent, father or mother, whether it's a Rebbe or student relationship, and certainly husband and wife. Hashem made that relationship extremely special. As we mentioned many times when we allude to the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, as a love between a husband and a wife. And that's the Shir Shirim analogy. And that's Hashem's way of letting us know that the marriage relationship is a microcosm of what Hashem wants His relationship to be with His people. Now, the opposite of love, you would think, is hate, right? The opposite of ahava is sinna. But truth be told, the opposite of love is not hatred. It's indifference. Now, hatred is an extreme that destroys relationships, but it's indifference that's really the point of the opposite of love. Usually, it's not hatred that poisonously creates a terrible erosion of relationships. It's indifference that wears it down. It's indifference that drives the wedge between a husband and a wife, between a parent and a child, between a friend and his neighbor, between an employee and employer. It could turn into hatred over time, but it's indifference that's the real poison that ruins relationships. It's sort of like whatever, the word whatever, the indifference of that. That's our new whole generation, the generation we live in. I don't care, or leave me alone. I can't be bothered. All of this means that I'm indifferent. And indifference is one of the most destructive forces at work in our modern lives and in relationships. And that's where Ahavas Yisrael gets eroded. Eventually erodes to Sinas Chinam, but what we don't realize is what Hashem is extremely disappointed with us about is not just the sinna, but the indifference. You mind your business, I mind my business, I have nothing to do with you, you have nothing to do with me. It's not that we hate each other, nothing personal here, but, you know, you don't mean much to me, I don't mean much to you. This is not just parav, that is a destructive force. It destroys the energy of relationships. It destroys the energy, enthusiasm and energy for all great pursuits of life, the way Hashem wants us to pursue life in a healthy way. When there's indifference, there's no sense of purpose. And we are indifferent. And when we're indifferent, we don't focus on what the real purpose of life is. There's a famous American from the 1800s, Thoreau, who said that we live lives of quiet desperation. We just, like hamsters on a wheel, just chug along. And couples become indifferent to each other and indifferent to the passion and purpose of what their relationship really is all about, the way Hashem wants their relationship to be towards each other and towards Hashem. And if that happens, that indifference sets in, then the relationship becomes a place of misery. And doesn't always necessarily mean it turns into hatred, but it becomes a very lonely place. The opposite of indifference is love. Indifference separates, love unites. Indifference doesn't care, but love cares deeply. Indifference is hopeless, but love is full of hope. Indifference is cynical. Love is the opposite of cynical. Indifference despairs, love rejoices. Indifference says, I cannot be bothered. Love says, I'm going to be involved. Indifference is a tiredness, and love is energetic. So yes, it could lead to hatred. And we see sometimes hatred as the opposite of love. But it's really indifference. When I read books regarding World War II and the Nazis, and they had a tremendous hatred for the Jew, to the point of, it was beyond logic, and the cruelty was hard to imagine. But there was something insidious even beyond the hatred, which was an indifference. The way one author described it, when he was in the camps and he noticed the Nazis interact with him, it was like when you're in a zoo, or an aquarium rather, and you're looking at a shark in a tank, and a shark is looking at you, and you're looking at the shark, and you could tell that it's seeing you, its vision, you know, it's looking directly at you, and you're looking directly at it, and you see that there's absolutely no comprehension. It's like you're in different worlds. There's no hatred there. It's just nothingness. That's even more terrifying to a large degree. This idea that you don't mean anything. You're not worth anything. Indifference. And that is like life without a neshama. And the idea is to do the opposite of that, and to get involved, and to care, and to be interactive. The opposite of indifference. The way you do that is you, what one author calls, soulful living. You live with your neshama. You do everything with meaning, everything with essential purpose in mind. Why you're working, why you're learning, why are you living? To connect with other people, because you're connecting with Hashem that way. Hashem values the people around you, so He wants you to value them. Hashem wants their lives to become better, so He wants you to be His shliach to make their lives better. That is really the key. Meaningful. Everything in life needs to be meaningful. How do we look at meaningful? If a man, for example, sweeps streets his entire life, that's what he does. He gets paid for it by the city, by the country. Every day he works hard, works well, pays attention to the details of his work. So he may get paid a very modest pay. People who are in the corporate world will look down at a person like that. All he's doing is sweeping the streets. But in truth, in reality, he will become a better version of himself through that work. While you have another person, a president of a large corporation, or on Wall Street, earning an enormous amount of money, but at the same time consumed by greed or laziness, that person will become a lesser version of himself with every passing day. So which man has a more meaningful life and a more meaningful work? The street cleaner's work. is infinitely more meaningful than the executives. That's not the way we look at things based on what's the money that's in the bank account, but that's the reality. The value of every activity needs to be measured by how it affects our essential purpose. And in this case, the example we just brought, this street cleaner is living more soulfully, more meaningfully than that businessman. This applies when you live this way, you become in your behavior more healthy. You eat better. You exercise in a soulful way. I'm taking care of my soul that's within my body. You eat healthier foods because you recognize that you value this gift that God gives you, which is the body that He gives you, and you want to take care of it. That makes it meaningful. And we need to bring this meaningfulness into our relationships. Every small act that we do, that we interact with somebody else, is with absolute commitment of the essential purpose of this relationship, to love the other person, which means to do everything within your power to help that person become the best version of themselves, and nothing less than that. You could do that even with people that you superficially meet. You just try to say to yourself, with even this small interaction, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to say something positive. I'm going to shape their life in that small way. And then with people who are more involved in your life, you're going to impact them in an even bigger way. So when we look at it in that vein, and then we recognize that this wife is the wife that was given to me, or this husband is the husband that was given to me by Hashem. He wants us. He put that person with us so that we could have a soulful relationship with them, to build them up, to place special meaning in that relationship, the way Hashem designed it. That through this we'll become the best version of ourselves, and through this we'll influence our spouse, our husband and wife, with our correct, right behaviors, to become the best version of themselves. How do you do that? You love your spouse. How do you love your spouse? It's not a feeling. This is one of those Hollywood myths. It could become a feeling, and the feeling is a gift. But love is not the feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice. Here's a sad story. A person approached this author named Matthew Kelly. We're going to go through some aspects of his book. And he was 27 years old. This person worked hard, loved his wife, faithful to her, had three wonderful children. 2 weeks earlier, his wife told him that she wanted a divorce. And he asked her why. And she said, because she doesn't love him anymore. He asked her, is there anyone else? And she said there wasn't anyone else. Then he asked her whether it was something he had done, told her it wasn't his fault. He's a good father, good husband. She just didn't love him anymore. That's very sad. Very, very sad, because she missed the boat. Love is not a feeling. You could develop that feeling, but it's not the feeling. We are inundated with movies and music, and we're conditioned to believe that feeling is everything. What you ask, rather, is that person going to help us become our best self? Then we don't allow those unhealthy feelings to take over, and we recognize the truth of that. You have a husband that takes care of his children, works hard, loves his wife. So whether the wife feels it at the moment or not, this is the true love. And it goes both ways. Our feelings, as much as Hollywood says it should not direct our actions or our lives. It should be driven by our hopes and values, aspirations, what Hashem wants from us. If you're driven just by feelings, it's very dangerous. It's hurtful. It's inconsistent. It's not reliable. It's a choice, love. It's not a feeling. Stephen Covey, the famous book he wrote, Seven Effective People. I forgot the name of the book exactly, but he wrote wonderful books. And he was talking about being proactive.
And a husband once told him, you know, I'm really worried. My wife and I just don't have the same feelings for each other like we used to have. So what can we do? So he verified, you mean the feeling is not there anymore? And he says, yeah, that's right. And we have three children we're really concerned about. So what do you suggest we do? So Stephen Covey said, just love her. Husband says, but I told you the feeling isn't there anymore. So Stephen Covey said again, love her. So the husband again says, you don't understand. The feeling of love isn't there. He says again, then love her. If the feeling isn't there, that's a good reason to love her. So the husband still couldn't comprehend this. He says, how do you love when you don't love? And Stephen Covey answered, love is a verb. Love, the feeling, is the fruit of the love, the verb. So love her and serve her and sacrifice and listen to her and be empathetic towards her and appreciate her and affirm her. And are you willing to do that? The feeling ultimately will come if you really keep at it. Similar to Ahavas Hashem, which is not the feeling of love, but the hisbainness, the thinking about the greatness of Hashem. So this is one of the big yesodos in life and in marriage. Love is not the feeling. The feeling is a matana that comes later. The sexuality, as much as we talk about the importance of it, is not what intimacy actually is. It's a shadow of the intimacy. That alone in the physical plane will not lead anywhere. Even the feelings is just the smell of the flower that we call love. It's a choice. Choosing love means you choose to stay together and you do the best you can. You remain loyal, whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it. And that's a choice you make. I'm going to love this person, period. When it's sometimes easy, whether it's sometimes hard, I'm going to love this person. And that's what you do. It's a choice. And it's such an important yesod what we're saying now, because it's so opposite of what we are taught in Hollywood and even in our culture to a certain extent. And if you keep along those lines that you love as a verb, whether the feeling is there or not, ultimately you will see the feelings will come, the bond will be strong, Hashem will give you that gift. Similar to Ahavas Hashem, you work through it, whether you feel like it or not, ultimately the Ahava will become stronger and stronger. Bracha and Hatzlacha.